Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
I'd like to read again that verse 37 and the response to what is said there in Matthew chapter 25, verse 37. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee and hungered, and fed thee, or thirsty, and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger, and took thee in, or naked, and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick, or in prison, and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Oh, that those words might be written on our hearts, and that we might fully understand them. Just before we start our study today, I will, having a little look at the news on the internet this morning, not just the internet, I got an email from the Reverend Paul Hanna about the protest in Newry last night against that very blasphemous play called Jesus Christ Superstar, a wicked and evil representation of the Lord Jesus. As it has often been said, he is not a superstar. He is the Lord, the Savior of sinners. Well, there was a good number out and they protested despite the inclement weather. But also, and this I did see on the internet, in New Zealand there was another protest of a very different sort. And some men, and maybe some women involved as well, took upon themselves to protest against the Muslim religion. And they entered two mosques and they shot 40 people. That is not something that the Word of God condones or permits. It has to be said, there's a form of protest that we are called to engage in, to contend earnestly for the faith. But some men think they're doing right when they murder others to promote their own views. Muslims are guilty of that. And now those who are opposed to the Muslim religion and Muslim attitudes, they feel that they have the right to murder Muslims. Boys and girls, that is not what the Bible teaches. Paul was very against, as was the Lord Jesus, very much against false religion. And Paul on his journeys was surrounded by it. But never once did he say to those Christians that he met with, you should kill the pagan. You should kill those who worship false gods. Never once. Oh, he argued with them. He pressed on them the truth of the gospel, but never once did he say you should kill. And men act against what they believe is wrong by doing something that is even more wrong. That's the logic of the sinner. Boys and girls, we are to oppose evil and oppose everything that's against God, but we must do it God's way. And that way, to present them with the gospel. Tell them that what they're doing, what they're believing, what they're saying is wrong. Now, let's turn to the portion of God's word that we just read. We're continuing to consider the Savior's explanation for the rewards that he has given here to those who are his sheep. They are puzzled, those on his right hand, the righteous, are puzzled as to why it is they have been given these rewards. Now, doubtless, they're most happy and rejoicing. But nevertheless, they said, Lord, when did we do these things that you say we did? Those good things, those virtuous, those kindly things. When did we do those? We have no sense of ever acting so. And boys and girls, let me tell you, Christians should engage in holy works. But while they are engaging in holy works, they will never feel themselves to be worthy of any notice or praise. They will think that by doing holy works, they're only doing what they ought to do. It's nothing special, as it were, on their part. And this modesty, this humility is seen here in the words of this question asked by the righteous. When did we do this, Lord? We have no consciousness that we acted, as you say, Well, the Lord explains to them that when you helped other Christians, then I counted those actions, those kindnesses, as being directed toward me. Being directed toward me. I took your kindness to other Christians as a kindness toward me. Do you understand that? If you act kindly toward another Christian, the Lord in heaven takes note of it and feels as if you have done that kindness toward him. That shows you how close he is to his people, doesn't it? It's not just kindness done to his people that the Lord Jesus feels. It's just comes to my mind, and I'll remind you of this. If you turn to Acts chapter 9, and in Acts chapter 9, we have the conversion of Saul of Tarsus, Paul the Apostle. He's on his way to Damascus when the Lord confronts him. And here's what the Lord says to him. There's a light shines from heaven, verse 3. And he fell to the earth, and he heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Paul never met the Saviour. Paul never lifted his hand against the Saviour. And yet the Lord here accuses him of persecuting him. Do you know how that was and why that was? Because Paul persecuted Christians. And when he laid his hands upon Christians, the Saviour felt it. When he wounded Christians, the Saviour felt it. Another little verse comes to my mind. The Lord says, he that toucheth you, that is one of his, toucheth the apple of my eye. You know what the apple of your eye is? The white of your eye. The white of your eye. And if you ever happen to rub your eye and just rub a little too much and actually touch your eyeball, oh, it's very sore. Your eye is very tender and sensitive. God said, whoever touches one of my people, I feel it as if they had touched my eye. There is that link between God and his people. And here's the other side of that. When you do a kindness toward a Christian, the Lord feels it. The Lord rejoices in it. The Lord is pleased by it. And he's saying to these people, here's why I am rewarding you. Because you acted kindly toward me by being kind toward fellow Christians. That's what the Savior is saying. Boys and girls, we ought to ever be on the watch, the lookout, regarding the affairs of Christ and his people. We ought to be ever thinking about them. Your mother and father, they are ever thinking about you. Everything they do is really for you. And they're very conscious of your well-being, and they want to see things go well for you. Well, that's how we ought to be toward one another. We ought to look out for one another for the sake of the Lord Jesus. Now, we have examples of how people, back in the days of the Savior's earthly ministry, how people served him, simply looked after him. When you think about it, the Lord Jesus never earned money, as far as we can know, certainly during his earthly ministry. The first years of his life here on earth, he was the carpenter's son, and I'm sure he worked as a carpenter and would have earned a living and contributed to the household. But when he took up the ministry of the gospel and went forth and proclaimed himself the Messiah, we don't read of him earning anything. So how did he live? How did he live? He lived by the kindness of others. I'll show you a verse. It's in the beginning of Luke chapter 8. It's a couple of verses. Luke chapter 8, verse 2. Luke chapter 8, verse 2. And certain women, which had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, which would indicate to me that they were saved. Not only did they experience a physical healing and deliverance from the hands of the Lord Jesus, but I'm absolutely sure that they also were spiritually healed and saved. And how they lived indicates that. Certain women, which had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary, called Magdalene, out of whom went seven devils, and Joanna, the wife of Cusa, Herod's steward, and Susanna, and many others. The Lord lists here the names of the women who were chief amongst those who helped them. And by listing their names, he indicates how he honored them. He told the world ever since Gospel of Luke was written about these women. And here we are today, nearly 2,000 years later, and we're talking about these women and what they did for the Lord. That shows you how much it meant to the Lord that he has recorded what they did. It says they ministered unto him of their substance till they fed him. And like they, when it was required, provided garments for him, clothing, shoes, sandals. They looked after his physical, bodily needs, ministered unto him. That's what the Lord is saying here to these righteous that he's rewarding. He said, you ministered to me by ministering to those that belong to me. These women, because they lived in the day of the Lord Jesus, were able to minister directly to the Savior. Though, I'm sure that it wasn't just the Savior they ministered to. I'm sure they ministered to Peter and James and John and all the other disciples, and would have looked after their needs as best they could. Some of these women would have been pretty well off. You see, Mary Magdalene would have been just an ordinary lady, not very rich by any means. But Joanna, the wife of Herod Stewart, that means he was the top man in Herod's household. And here is his wife, who would have had high social standing, but she was not in the least ashamed to be associated with the Lord Jesus, and out of her sustenance, out of her possessions, she ministered unto the Lord Jesus. It's interesting just to think about that, because she would have gotten money from Herod. Her husband would have been paid a wage. He was a high official in Herod's household, and Herod would have paid him. So the money from Herod's wallet found its way through this lady into the life of the Savior and sustained him. God's wonderfully efficient at these things, boys and girls. When Israel came out of Egypt, they went out laden with money, with gold, silver, and precious stones. The Egyptian had given them all this wealth. And I was reading this morning where the Lord commanded Moses to build the tabernacle. And there was, in today's value, millions of pounds worth of gold and silver and precious stone in that tabernacle. Where did it come from? Egypt. Now, it's not that the Israelites robbed Egypt, because the Israelites had been for nearly 400 years working for nothing. We might call this back pay. Back pay. It might appear that the world is getting the better of the people of God. God will make the world pay, people of God, what is their due. And we see something of that in the fact that this lady, who was in and part of the household of that evil man, King Herod, is using what she had received from his hand to aid and comfort and help and minister unto the Lord Jesus. The Savior says, Mary, Joanna, Susanna, and many others. We're not given all the names, but we are told there were many others. Are you among the others? Do you minister to the Lord Jesus? Now, this ministering by God's people didn't just take place during the lifetime of the Lord Jesus, during, that is, his sojourn here on earth. That wasn't the only time God's people ministered unto the Savior. Because he's talking to all of the righteous, all of the saved, and he's saying to all of the saved, you ministered unto me. You might say today, well, how can I minister to the Lord? He's not here in the sense that he was there when Mary and Susanna and Joanna were ministering to him. He was there. They could go directly to him, pass on food to him and gifts to him, put it in his hand. But how can we do that? Well, as the Savior said, if you do it to others who love me, you're doing it to me. We have a lovely example of this, and I suppose here we'll have to end, in the opening verses of Romans chapter 16. That's the last chapter of Romans. Romans chapter 16. Verse 1 reads, I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant of the church, which is at Caesarea, that ye receive her in the Lord as becometh saints, and that ye assist her in whatsoever business she hath need of you, for she hath been a succourer of many, and of myself also. Here, boys and girls, we have an example of what it is to minister to the Lord, even though the Lord is up in heaven, and we can't directly reach something into his hand. Here's how, nevertheless, we can minister to him, for that's what Phoebe did. There's three S's here in these two verses linked to Phoebe. Did you notice them? Verse 1, she is a sister. She belongs to the family of God. Then she is a servant of the church. A servant of the church. She lived to serve the people of God with whom she worshipped. That was her life. That's what she lived for. A servant of the church. But Paul goes on to the end of verse 2, and he says, she hath been a succourer of many. The word succour, we know it means to help, to comfort, to sustain. But the particular Greek word here is derived from a word that means someone who is set over, someone who rules. That would seem sort of out of place for this humble lady who was a servant. But you see, she was a succourer of the church because she felt the church, the group of people with whom she met, she fellowshiped, they were those over whom she had a responsibility. God had set her. They're my responsibility. I have to look after them. That was the burden of this woman's heart. And that's what it means to serve the Lord today. That's what it means to minister unto the Lord today. I tell you this, boys and girls, it makes holiness a lot easier, if I might put it like that. Holy works a lot easier. Maybe there's someone in the school that is a Christian, but they're a bit awkward. They're a bit hard to get along with. They're sort of crabbit-like, and they don't often smile, and if you try to be friendly toward them, they'd nearly bite you. And it's hard to be kindly toward them. But what makes it easier to be kindly toward such a person is you're doing it to the Lord. And he in heaven is taking my action as a ministering to him. That will make it a lot easier to be kind towards that person who's a bit grumpy. I hope you're not the grumpy type, that I'm describing you, as it were. Oh, let us be kind one to another, as becometh saints. May the Lord bless his word, and I trust today you're saved. We mentioned the names of three ladies, Mary, Susanna, Joanna, who are unashamed of belonging to Jesus. They risked their life. I just was reading this morning how from the beginning of his ministry there was a plotting against the Savior with the objective of killing him. So anyone who associated with him, they placed themselves in danger. Yet these women, because of their love for the Savior, were not a bit ashamed of him. Are you ashamed of the Lord Jesus? Has he saved you? If he has, then you boldly stand with him, and without hesitation you own him as your Savior. Let's bow in prayer. Lord, write your word on hearts today. And O God, we do pray for this world with all its violence and its cruelties and its wickednesses. Lord, work your purpose amongst your people in the midst of this evil world. Lord Jesus, come soon and rule and reign in glory. Encourage each one of those in the school who are seeing to be as Mary, as Susanna, as Joanna, and minister unto thee by ministering unto those who are thine. Answer prayer for us today and bless the word as it is gone forth for Jesus' sake. Amen.
Amen.